I wonder if there has been a more perfect summer. I watch it all day, until the light goes and the sky fills with stars. He always said the glory of France was its night skies, as if the stars had been thrown up in handfuls. He knew this was where our lives would be happiest. Just ourselves here, sometimes our little forays, together and separately. He taught me that two lives require their truces, their concessions, a gentle understanding. Students still come to the house. They've come for years. I don't mind. I tell them the doors aren't locked. They wander up and down stairs, clattering on the bare floorboards. They bring me flowers. Slow, sad Celeste makes them tea. Chrysanthemum tea. He discovered the tea in Paris. In Fauchon, after the war. In those days, we could both live here on £4 a week without a thought of a maid. £4 bought us our food, wine, cigarettes. The exotic tea from the Place de la Madeleine was our one extravagance. And the Japanese paper he liked, from a queer little shop on the Boulevard Haussmann. I wake up thinking, the jacaranda tree is on fire. The flowers at the window are larger, redder, waxier than I've ever seen them. As if they meant this summer to be one never to forget. The students won't forget. It will become that summer. She let us wander about the house, up and down stairs. She didn't mind. We drank chrysanthemum tea with her. She told us, look at the jacaranda tree. He only painted it once, I think, the tree with its scarlet flowers, the burning bush. He said the richness of red eluded him, the reverberations. I thought it was glorious, whatever he said. It burst out of the frame. But it was nothing like this. The students photograph the garden. They inspect all its angles. They ask to photograph me. I say no, politely. I tell them, take one of the jacaranda, the burning bush. Its beauty grows with every year. And they bring me flowers when there's a garden nearly strangled with them. They bring me other things, too, according to their pockets. Truffles, greengages, sep, and briny oysters tasting of the wild Brittany sea. I'm reminded of this painting or that, a basket of mushrooms, a scatter of truffles or dusty greengages on a tabletop. I remember the famous plate of oysters and my hand splitting them with a knife. That was longest ago of all. We were in Paris before the war. We were so poor. He had to sketch them at a stall in Les Halles at 5 o'clock in the morning before they were sold, while the oyster men stood opening them a dozen a minute. Then he added my hands another day, slicing into not a crinkly oyster shell, but a wizened, dried-up apple. For something to say, I asked them, which is the best picture here? Tell me honestly. They all give me a different answer. They're all so earnest. They explain to me why. Composition, perspective, colouring. I nod knowledgeably. And which is my favourite, they ask me. Not that I think it's the same. A favourite needn't be the best. I tell them, that one in the corner, do you see? The bather. I don't say I always used to keep it back when the dealers came in their shiny Facel sports cars and bearing me gifts, little pots of beluga caviar, fancy boxes of chocolates. The summer he painted it, we were staying at a boarding house called La Baigneuse, one of those crazy, top-heavy Normandy houses, so fussy and solemn for a little beach town. I don't know why the bather is my favourite. I'm asked, who is the woman? He's only suggested me with a few strokes, but there I am. Venus ascendant. Not in the nude that day, but in my yellow swimsuit. He'd had a rough year. Sometimes we just couldn't hold each other. In the end, he came back to me, and I came back to him. And we went to Normandy, and we didn't speak any more about it. There he painted his slightest image of me, and also his most beautiful. And he caught me in that moment at my best. When I saw it finished, I knew I would never be quite like that again. And I knew our life together would be different, too. It was taking on a certain form, a pattern. His regular trips every few weeks to collect his Japanese paper from the fusty little material shop in the Boulevard Haussmann, and the chrysanthemum tea bought for me as if he was a solicitor's husband, and I really was his neat, meek little wife, waiting patiently at home. He knew I wasn't like that. I knew he once didn't go to Paris, but he trailed me to Bergerac instead. I can't remember all their names now, the men I spent my racy afternoons with and tried to hide my guilt from. I couldn't remember names now, even to save my life. Or the blue jug. It's either that or the bather I like the most. I'm sitting with my arm on the kitchen table, the blue jugs beside me. I'm older. I've grown a little portly. Before he started on it, I told him, show me honestly, please. He did. In the picture there is affectionate honesty. There is the truth of our lives. What's the expression on my face? Not submission or resignation. Rather it's, I must be careful, a mellow, considered acceptance. Even contentment. Every element adds to the mood of unexceptional stillness, peace. A solid workaday table, sunlight pouring through the doorway, a cat asleep on its side. My bared arm crooked round the slender, curvaceous blue jug. Like the picture, like me, the jug has survived all the years. Close to, it's pocked and raw. Here and there you can see the terracotta red under the glaze, but the blue on top is the summer blue of cornflowers. As fresh as the day we bought it for a few francs in a tiny shop in the back streets of Périgueux. I've imagined its genesis so many times. The gruff, stubble-headed potter throws the mixture anyhow onto his wheel. He means to shape a flat dish out of the red clay, but for some reason his hands that particular morning or afternoon have a magic touch. He cradles the wet clay, and he's remembering a lifetime he spent tracing the ripe lines of women's bodies with his fingers. It's then he realizes what his inspiration is going to be. It passes from his fingers to the clay, and the jug begins to take on a life of its own. Later it was glazed. We chanced to be in Périgueux, and we saw it, and we bought it. And from then on it had a place on the table at all our meals. It was as familiar to us as another person would have been, someone we'd known for years, but who hadn't changed, who'd outwitted fate. That sensual outline the potter gave it still hasn't altered. It belongs to the same bold young woman who's understood. She won't look better than this. She won't be improved on. Now she's at her best. The jug came with us on our picnics, too. It's held paintbrushes, witch hazel, Christmas holly, the first catkins of spring. Someone put some of the funeral flowers in it. And when it hasn't had some job of work to do, it has stood proudly, assuredly alone. Somehow, complete in itself. Seen from this angle, on the day bed with cushions piled under my back, all the objects in the room have an authority, a dignity. Their shapes are exactly right for their functions. I fulfilled a function in the life of this house. The pictures tell that. Moments of time frozen for all time. Now, in the silent house, the things triumph. The pictures and the wooden bowls, the spoons and ladles, the copper pans, the old paintbrushes worn to stumps. I've always been the servant of the thing. With my matronly arm crooked protectively around the alluring, sinuous, youthful curves of the blue jug. Whatever their chances seemed like in the beginning, the things are to outlive me. I couldn't have guessed the blue jug will be standing there on the windowsill the morning I don't wake to see it. The same day, or the day after, it will come. Someone will brightly suggest the scarlet jacaranda flowers would look good in it before they fade. It'll cheer the place up after. Celeste is out in the rain picking apples in the orchard, like a mad woman. She's too old to cry for me. In the house, the brisk stranger's voice will say, "Open the windows. There's a musty smell in here. Careful with the jug. Oh, it doesn't matter. It's only a jug. But, mon Dieu, what's to be done with the paintings? All those people who used to come, they'll know. Is there a telephone number to call?"